the story how Luann and I started dating. I mean, raise your hand if you've never heard that story.
I think we've all heard it.
Are you talking about the girls of you that
have it? Yeah, I've never heard of it.
I mean, was it told by us or by Madison? Yeah, we tell it better. I mean, I know that there are some of you that have not. Can we tell that story?
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Luann has a different version of that story, so I'll tell my version. She can tell you her version.
Maybe she mine. She speaks.
Mine. Luann and I went to the same school. Went to Antwerp School when we were growing up. She was a year ahead of me in school. She's older than me. I married an older woman. She's older by 3 months, which put her in a grade before me. And, you know, when you go through grade school, you don't really meet the kids that are in a different grade than yours. I don't know why. They don't want you to mix or something. And I don't remember Luann at all until we got to high school. And when we got in high school, I saw Luann and some of my friends and some of Luann's friends. We kind of hung out together, but I didn't really know Luann a lot. And then one of the guys in my class started dating Luann. And as they got older, when they were dating, they exchanged rings. You remember when they exchanged class rings? And they exchanged rings. And in school, when we were in school, and I think it still happens today, in between classes, the bell rings and you change classes, and the halls are just jammed with people, you know, for that few minutes. You go into the next class. Well, it was in between classes, and the bell had rang, and this guy that Luann was dating, him and her kind of got into an argument. And they were quite a ways away from each other. And he was saying awful things about her. And I was, like, standing behind Luann, like, over here, and I was talking to one of my friends, and I heard this yelling and stuff. And I heard him just calling her names. I didn't like it all. But I do love Luann. I know she's a fox. And then, anyway, he screamed something at her, pulled her class ring off, and threw it at her. And it come bouncing down the hall with, you know, filled with people. And it landed right at my feet. And she's crying and carrying on. And so I reached out, picked it up, and I put it on my finger. It fit right there. And because she's so much smaller, just little tiny thing, it fit right there on my finger. And Luann's looking around on the floor, trying to find her class ring. And the bell rings, time to go back to class. And I said, "Hey, Luann, I got your ring. See me later, and I'll give it back to you." And I raced off the class. And she raced off the class. And then when the next class period came, and she came to me, and she's still all distraught and crying and stuff. And she said, "Can I have my ring back?" And I said, "I gave it back to you if you go out on a date with me." And she went, "I don't know about that." And I said, "See you." And I just went off to my next class. And a couple classes later, long story short, she agreed to date. Go on a date with me. We went on a date, and it was a nothing date. We went to a basketball game together, and then I fell madly in love with her. I'm not kidding you. I just thought, this is the woman of my dreams. I had just barely turned 16. This is it. And so we dated a couple more times, I think, and then Luann just, she didn't see in me what I saw in her, so she would date another guy, not beat him up. And she dated another guy, not beat him up. And she dated him pretty soon. Here I am. The one and only. And that's my version. On our first date, on our first real date, where we made any kind of connection at all, I picked her up on my motorcycle, and me and her and another friend on his motorcycle rode motorcycles for 8 hours. And back then, they didn't have the communication devices that they got now with the helmets and the, you know, there before you can do it. I mean, there wasn't much saying, just riding a motorcycle. And I just thought, I really liked her hanging on to my waist. And there was a lot of times that I was riding a lot harder than I needed to because she hung on tight. How did you see that story, Louie?
I don't remember the first day. I don't think we had one.
You mean before the motorcycle?
Before the motorcycle.
I didn't make much of an impression, did I?
I just agreed to go to the game to get my ring back. I didn't think it was.
Tracy was walking at my graduation. We tell you this to say, but God, I don't recommend that. That was really, really tough. I mean, I'm still in school, and I got a household to support. And so I had a full-time job and went to school, which was really, really tough. Our first home was a house trailer that was 10 by 35.
Yeah.
And it was out in the middle of the country. I mean, there was nothing but sticks around us. And
With one car,
and I took it to work and school.
And Tracy had colic and cried all day.
Every day from
2 in the
o'clock
afternoon,
in the afternoon
to
11 at night.
For 6 months.
Every day. All of that time. The only thing that worked is if you take her car. And we lived in a car, riding around in a car was the thing that we did.
We didn't have a phone. We had a 12-inch black and white TV that worked for about 30 minutes, and then it was so bad you couldn't watch it. So.
Yeah, and Luann was there alone in that trailer every day while I worked and went to school. So you just imagine how. I mean, that wasn't God's plan for us. It's something much, much better. We come to know the Lord when we're 30 years old through a suicide of my brother. And listen, up until that time, we had a pretty good marriage. We were madly in love. I was madly in love with her. I let her speak for how she felt about me. But when we came to know Christ, everything changed. I saw her with my eyes until that time. When we came to know the Lord, I began to see Luann with God's eyes. And oh, when you look at someone through God's eyes, the picture is so much better and so much bigger.
I really did love you, or I wouldn't
have been around. Am I not a prize?
No, it was
look at my haircut.
Sorry.
If you don't know what that's about, by the way, last week Luann was cutting my hair, and I should have given Jason a picture to put up on the screen, but it was pretty long, and I said, Luann, I just have to have hair. I said, let's go out and do it right now. It was on Saturday night, about 9 o'clock at night, and we got the clippers out and stuff. She went up the back of my head right there, and I felt something cold, and I thought, oh, that shouldn't be cold. And I looked up, and she's holding the clippers up here, and there's a ball of hair on the clippers on the sides of your fist. And then she's holding it up like a trophy. And you were thinking,
that's a lot of hair.
And I looked over and I said, oh, Luann, I don't think you put the guard on. And she looked and she said, I didn't. And I started laughing. And I thought she was laughing, and I turned around, she's crying. I said, Luann, it's his hair. It'll grow back. She said, oh, you're not looking at it. It looked like a parting of the Red Sea, you know, there, popping up this bald spot.
I didn't charge it.
I've been fired for 25 years and never charged. So I'm good to go. And I thought she'd never cut it again after that. And I said, I mean, I know you never cut my hair again, will you, Luann? And she said, You're an A.
Her granddaughter loves the Harvard, our beautician.
Yeah, and we called her. I sent her a picture of that spot of my head. I sent her a picture and said, "Peyton, can you fix this?" Sent it to her in a text, and she sent back, "Ha ha 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 ha." That was all she sent back. A little bit later, she said, "I think I can, but your hair's going to be really short." I want to talk to you about having an awesome marriage. With the fight for an awesome marriage today, because in our culture, an awesome marriage is not what the world's looking for. It's not a part of what it is, but the writer of Hebrews writes these words, and they're in your bulletin there, you can see it. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage.
Sadly, marriage is no longer honored by very many. Instead, it's viewed as irrelevant, old-fashioned, no longer necessary.
Some people look at marriage as a career bust. Oh, man, go get married with your career. You have to sacrifice that, your marriage.
People put off marriage for money and careers even because they still want to play the field.
And some people say marriage, who needs it?
And marriage is treated like just another lifestyle choice. Even Christians fall into this trap. The divorce rate for the Christians is higher than it's ever been.
That is a sad thing. And the even sadder thing is the divorce rate among Christians is not much different than the divorce rate among people of the world that have nothing to do with God.
Would you sit still?
my ADHD is just jumping out of me. Part of the problem, people don't know the basics. Why marriage matters. And I think if they could understand and know the basics and get them in their heart, then it'd make a big difference. We either have unrealistic or flat-out wrong conceptions about marriage.
Okay, the first point is reality. Marriage won't solve all your problems. It doesn't turn your life into a picnic. It doesn't fix your finances or help you get everything that you want. I'm not saying that.
Okay. In fact, marriage reveals your problem. That's the reality of it. It does. It reveals your problem. If you're cranky, it'll reveal it. If you're a perfectionist or you're fearful or you're insecure, you're a worrywart, marriage will reveal it. It'll make it stick out like a sore thumb. If you're angry or if you're bitter, marriage will show that like no other relationship because you're doing life together. I mean, you're living together constantly like this. And so if you have some of those issues in your lives, they're going to stick out like a sore thumb. And we're going to tell you in a minute why that's a good thing. But marriage does have a God-designed form and function, and that's what I want to talk about. Three reasons why marriage matters. Now, this is an overview. There isn't just three reasons, but we want to point out three reasons why marriage matters.
God created marriage for the connection of a man and woman. Men and women need each other, and that is a radical statement for today. I don't need anybody. I'm independent, but that's not what God says. 1 Corinthians 11:11. But among the Lord's people, women are not independent of men, and men are not independent of women.
A man and woman were created in the image of God. That's what the Bible says. Neither of us alone holds the full image of God. Do you got that? Neither of us hold the full image of God. Man is a part of God, a woman is a part of God. And together, we make the full image of God, but not alone, independently. Women get a part, men get a part. God thought of gender. God thought of sex, God thought of marriage, all of that was his idea.
In Genesis 2, the Bible says that God created Adam first, and then he created Eve. Why not at the same time? I think he did that for Adam's benefit. I think he wanted Adam to realize how much he needed a woman in his life.
Amen.
Let's look at the next statement by God, Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, "It's not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper who can be just right for him."
There are a lot of relationships, a lot of companions that are important in life, but none like marriage. No, none other can compare. Marriage is a relational class all its own. If you don't believe me, just ask anybody that's married. It's all its own. It's all separate than any other relationship you can have. Mark 10, we can read this. God made them male and female. God made males and God made females. And he chose which one he wanted you to be. You were made that way on purpose. From the beginning of creation, this explains why a man leaves his mother and father and is joined to his wife. The King James Version says, and they cleave together. They become one. And the two are united as one. Since they are no longer two, but one. God sees married couples as one. Let no one split apart what God has joined together.
Yeah. This scripture reveals three things. Marriage is God's plan. It was a man's idea. God planned it for our lives. Marriage is between a man and a woman. There's a lot of other relationships, but it's not marriage if it's not a man and a woman. And marriage is permanent. It's for life.
Those are three radical statements in our time. There are some places, and right in our city, as small as Defiance is, and as conservative as a community that we are, that if Luann would have made those statements, there would have been some people blue and getting up and walking out or something. Just because of those statements, they're radical in our time. Nobody believes that anymore. Isn't that a sad thing? Say amen if you think that's sad.
Amen.
Yeah, I thought you died there for a minute. So but that those are the sad, sad statements that we talk about, things like that. That just because we live in the real, not the ideal, doesn't mean the ideal exists. And if we don't stretch for the ideal, if we don't stretch for the perfection that God wants, for the best that God has for us, we're just selling ourselves short. And we should never settle for that. The first thing about marriage is that God created it. He created it for the connection of a man and a woman for life. How many so far are filling out the blanks and God is right? Yeah, okay. We'll work on that.
God also created that marriage for the multiplication of the human race. It's how we all got here. You're here because of a man and a woman got together and they made you. That was God's idea to populate the planet through marriage.
Listen to this. God is love. And God created you for love. Mm-hmm. He created you as an object of his love. He created you because he wanted someone to love. He created you because he wanted you to love others. Now, there are a lot of us, Katie and I have had this conversation many times. This is the way that our country is going today. Oh, my gosh, I don't know if I want to bring kids into it. It's just such a mess. But listen, we say that, Katie and I have said that flippantly, and you know, we just it has more to do with where our nation's headed than it does our true beliefs. But listen, God created you for love. And that's way bigger than your comfort and your freedoms in America. He created you for love. What an awesome, just think of the ramifications of that for a minute. He created people in countries who have absolutely no freedoms whatsoever as an object of his love so that he would have someone to love. And I don't know about you, but my relationship with God grows closer in adverse times. And if we got this idea that, you know, that we need to be comfortable just in order for God to live out his plan in creation, I think that we got it all wrong. But listen to what Genesis says. So God created people in his own image. He patterned them after himself, creating both male and female with his image. Then God blessed them and commanded them, be fruitful and multiply the earth.
We're all here because of that fact. God invented marriage to bring people into existence. Max says God's first commandment to the human race is to get married and have sex.
It's the only thing that God's people has got right.
That's the only commandment that God's human race has been able to keep. Malachi 2:15, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are his. And what does he want? God makes it real clear. Godly children from your union. If people don't make kids can't be born again, and they can't get to heaven. He wants godly children from a godly marriage. So guard your heart and remain loyal to your wife or your husband.
Now listen, that's not an indictment on childless couples. There's some people that just can't have children. It just isn't in the plan of their makeup. Look, if you can't, you're not disappointing God. There are other ways that you can love children. Adoption is an awesome option to do that. The point is that we're all alive because some couple had children. Think about that. I mean, we wouldn't be here if somebody didn't choose to have children. For thousands of years, God has used marriage for kingdom purposes.
The first reason God created marriage is for connection of the man and woman. The second reason God created marriage is for the multiplication of the human race. And the third reason God created marriage is
for the perfection of our character.
Oh, my.
I think that it is. And it's for the perfection of our character. We're born completely self-centered. Say amen if you recognize that. Amen. Yeah, if you're all by yourself something, thinking about it, it's all about you, ain't it? And we're completely self-centered. Not only were you helpless when you were first born, but you were completely self-centered. And nothing on the planet is more self-centered than a newborn baby. Can you attest to that? Yeah, it's all about Berlin. There are nothing more evident than that. A baby doesn't even have the capacity to think about somebody else. All can think about is itself. I'm too cold, I'm too warm, I'm hungry, I just pooped, and I need it cleaned up. That's just what goes through their heads. It's all about me when you're a baby. You start as a baby selfish, and you have to learn to not be self-centered. You have to learn that. Do you know any adults that are still selfish babies? Don't point. Shout no names. But I bet you do.
We have to learn to be unselfish, and that's called maturity. The purpose of our life is to grow up and learn that life is not all about you. In fact, real happiness comes from giving your life away and being selfless, not selfish.
Isn't that true? And the better you learn how to do that, the better your relationship will be with your spouse. If you can learn to put them first. I do some things that are crazy that helps me put Luann first. And it, you know, for years she had no idea what they were, or I didn't think she did. And I told you one Sunday in a sermon that I was giving about marriages, and I gave it up, I blew it. But I wish I hadn't, but I already did, and she already knows it now. I opened the car door for Luann. I tried to do it everywhere we go. Sometimes she says, please don't do that. Have you ever been in a parking spot, like at a mall, where there's this much room, and you're going up through the room, and you open the car door, and you just say, here. And she says, Max, I can't get out. You're there. Or we'll come back out to the car, and I'll open the car door and go here, and she'll go, really? We didn't want to crawl through the trunk and get in because there's no way that I can get. So there are some times that I've learned that I look at her and go, are you okay? And she said, yeah, please. And so I don't do it. I open that, you know, that's not for her. It's for me. Because it's a little lesson that I can tell myself to put it first. We go into a restaurant, we go sit down, and I think, where would be the best place to sit? I don't like to sit with my back towards the people that walk in. You know what I mean? I think it's so many years in a factory. You know, people walk up behind you and clap, and if you've got PTSD from working in a factory. And anyway, so that's where I'll sit. Luann is the spot that she doesn't. Because I think it's the best place. I make cinnamon toast for Luann almost every day. Because cinnamon toast is they're her favorite thing. I leave before her to go to work. And so I make cinnamon toast, put it on the plate. I've learned that she likes it best with a little bit crispy on the top. And that when I put it on the plate, if you put the cinnamon side down instead of the bread side down, it doesn't make the bread soggy. And then if you put a napkin over top of it, don't let it cool off too much. And so I make it almost every morning and bring it to her, either give it to her in bed or while she's in the bathroom getting ready for work in the morning. You know why I do that? I do that for me. because that teaches me to put her first and pushes down selfishness. And now Luann appreciates it, but it's more for me than it is for her, because I have to learn how to not be selfish.
Proverbs 18:1 says, unfriendly people care only about themselves. They lash out at common sense. Another way to say it is, it's arrogant and thoughtless to care only about yourself.
How many of you have learned pretty quick in marriage that you can't do whatever you want? And you learn that pretty quick, don't you? So you have to consider the other person. You can't do whatever you want. God wants to make you like Jesus Christ. He wants to perfect your character. It's the number one goal for your life. That's what he wants to do. He wants to build your character. You know what you're going to take to heaven? Well, let me tell you what you're not going to take. You're not going to take your car. You're not going to take your favorite possession. I mean, you're not going to take your clothes. You're not going to take your favorite purse or your heels. You're not going to take any of them to heaven. You know what you are going to take to heaven? You're going to take your character with you to heaven. It's best here on this earth if you can perfect that character, and there's no better place to do that than in the constitution of marriage, in the commitment of marriage. Perfect your character.
He's still there.
I could go on and on about that.
You could be lost now.
I know. Just jump in somewhere.
If you're married, the number one tool God uses to build Christ-like character is your spouse. Oh, no. Because every day, you get hundreds of opportunities to not think about you. You get opportunities to think about the other person and to care about them.
Write this down, because I think it's important. It's not in your notes. The purpose of marriage is to make you holy, not happy. Now, listen to what I'm saying. The purpose of marriage is to make you holy, not happy. Now, if you're a child of God, the best way for you to be happy is to be holy. So if you want to be happy in your marriage, it has to come through holiness. And that comes through perfecting your character, and there's no better place to perfect your character than to do it inside the design of the confines or the commitment of marriage. I think it's the best place. When you stop caring about happy and start caring about other people, you're going to get happy. That's how God wired the universe. If you begin to think it's all about me, that's when your happiness begins to fleet. And when you begin to look at your life, it's all about other people. I'll tell you when you can see that the most is Christmas time. When you begin to understand the joy of gift giving, the gift getting diminishes, and the gift giving just goes crazy. That's what God wants you to do with love and your character. Is that it happens, it just develops, and you become much more happy when you're giving it away and you're unselfish.
If you're there and you're married and you're thinking, oh, my spouse is so selfish, you need to stop right there, because you're probably the one that's selfish, not the spouse.
Ooh. Raise your feet up. That's your toes.
God wants us to learn how to love through marriage. Romans 12:9-10 says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what's wrong. Hold tightly to what's good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other.
You know, before marriage, before God and marriage in my life, I thought I knew how to love. Shoot, I didn't know nothing. You know what love does? Love takes up the garbage. Love helps with the dishes. Love does those menial tasks around the house. The ones especially that Luann doesn't like to do, that's what love does. And that's what Luann does back with me. Since that's how we subtract and add to our lives, is through those kind of things. On Sundays, after church, we always have our family over for dinner, as many as will come of our immediate family.
If you want to come for dinner, we'll know the difference.
Yeah, it's a crowded place. But anyway, we were getting, yesterday we had planned what we were going to have for lunch today, and Luann said, I think I'll make a meatloaf, and we ended up watching Berlin for a little time, because Madison and Isaac's work overlapped with each other. Berlin's our great-granddaughter. And then our grandson, Austin, called us, and he said, Grandpa, we've got a benefit that we're doing for the fire department tonight. It's a fundraiser, and Mom and Dad are going to be there, and Brandy, which is Lincoln, our great-grandson's aunt, you know, all the usual babysitters are going to be at this fundraiser. Could you watch Lincoln? And so we began putting our calendar together and thought, man, how are we going to get something ready for tomorrow, because we get something ready, stick it in the oven, and race off to church. And well, how are we going to do that? We got home last night, and it was 9 o'clock, which is really 10 o'clock, because the time's going forward. And Luann sat down in the chair, and I could see her just go, Luann makes the best meatloaf in the world. I do not mess with her meatloaf. And so I went out into the kitchen, and I got the hamburger out, I got the onions out, I got the crackers out, and all of the other eggs and the stuff she puts in a meatloaf, and I cut the package, put the meatloaf in the pan, and I thought, I'm just going to shout to her from the kitchen into the living room, what do I do next and how much? And she came in and she filled the ingredients in, and I mixed it up. And we had it done like that. A job that neither one of us wanted to do alone, especially at that time of night. I think that's what love is. I think it is. If you share a sorrow, the sorrow's half. You share a joy, the joy's half.
I don't remember. I remember it. It just messed up.
That was my story.
Yeah.
I didn't like the facts.
All together in the oven.
I have no idea where we're at.
Out of this kind of love where we're at.
Okay. Out of this kind of love comes a connection and a companionship that gives you the strength and the stability to handle enormous amounts of stress. Some say,
amen.
If you got it right in a marriage, you can handle enormous amounts of stress. God made marriage for the connection of a man and a woman for life, for the multiplication of the human race, and for the perfection of her character.
I'm quite sure, Marlene, that you get strength from that, don't you? Mm-hmm. I heard your story. Thank you, Bob, for taking care of her. What's amazing about all this is that although we live in a culture that has forgotten why marriage matters, it still makes big news when a couple's married for a long time. Have you noticed that? When someone's married 60, 65, 70 years, it's just all over the news that couple's been married that long. And we still make a big deal about it. But why? Because in spite of all the public and political pressure, we instinctively, as human beings, know and recognize the beauty of one man and one woman committing themselves to become one flesh and living together in love for an entire life. That's a beautiful thing. And we know it. We know it. We have the perfect marriage. We think it's perfect. It doesn't matter if it really is, right?
Yeah,
just because we... Perfect for us,
yeah. We know that deep inside us, instinctively, we're wired to want those things the Scripture talked about. That's what we're wired to want. Everybody craves the safety of a relationship where you're so fully known and known by each other that it lasts a life. Everybody wants that. I'm sure that they do when they start out. Otherwise, they would have never gotten married.
That's right. So in a society that doesn't like marriage, how do you fight for your marriage? Because there's nothing in society that's encouraging you to stay married. Everything around you encourages you to walk out. So how do you fight for your marriage?
I was just getting ready to say, Luann and I are old. I'm old, and Luann's long for the ride. We've experienced a lot of things in life. We've experienced a lot of things in our marriage. And we know that marriage life is seasonal. You go through different changes in your life. And as you get married, those changes happen because there are things that happen to you in that lifetime. And there are a lot of couples that say they want to live together to see if they're compatible. Well, in order for that to really work out well, you'd have to live together until you were just ready to die. And then you could discover whether or not you're compatible. Because compatibility changes as you go through the seasons of life. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, Jack said that marriage doesn't stay the same, and that's certainly true, isn't it? It's constantly changing as you go through life. When you first get married, to the two of you in your careers, and then there's kids. Oh, wow. When the kids become teens, oh my. When the kids leave the house, you think, who are we? Who are you? Not long before you think, I can run around my house in my underwear. This is what I want.
See, that has its benefits.
And when you get grandchildren, then it seems to start all over again in many aspects. And when you retire, you look at each other and you say, are you still there?
Yeah. Just think about that. I mean, when your kids leave, you have an empty nest syndrome. You have focused your whole life on them. Luann and I have a thing called bleacher butt. It's a disease. I have little grooves in the backside of my butt from aluminum bleachers. I can set out on the bleacher, lock in. I can go this way, but I can't slide off this way because I have these grooves from sitting and watching our kids do so many sports. And you just pour your lives into your kids, and you know what your life becomes? You know, it becomes your kids. And then your kids leave home, you look at your wife and go, well, who are you? What do I have? We don't have, we've been spending years going like this, and now all at once we're going like this. And there's an adjustment period for that. And you know, and that empty nest center, it takes a minute. And we didn't like that right at first, did we? We just went like, gosh, the house is quiet.
So we move somebody in.
Yeah. But then after a while we went, gosh, the house is quiet. I can watch anything that I want on TV. And then I got used to running around in my underwear. I know that you don't have to picture that. You understand what I mean? There's some friends we had never had.
I remember when I first got here, Katie comes to the door, and I went to the door and answered it. Max was running through the house, and I said, he's got his underwear on. She said, don't pluck me, don't tell me.
Katie said, I don't want a picture of my bathroom. You know, those things in our lives, those changes, they're tough. They're tough on our marriage. I think busyness is one of the, maybe the number one destroyer of marriage. We get so busy, we don't have time for each other. We don't have time to talk. We don't have time to have meaningful relationships. We start to ignore each other's needs and wants. Next thing you know, you're selfish. And you become that because of your busyness. I think that is one of Satan's biggest tools to use against Christians, is busyness. Life changes, busyness. There are guy and girl differences that makes a lasting relationship different. And I'm not talking about just dresses and jeans. I'm talking about a guy and girls different. Let me ask you this. Guys, if you're married, how many of you completely understand your wife? But let me dumb it down a little bit. How many of you got any clue what's going through her head? Yeah, see? That's what I'm talking about. Guy and girl differences. Talk about that for a minute.
Let's take a minute and try and understand guys, if that's even possible. Guys are goal-oriented. They're always on a mission. The first mission may be to find a woman. So they begin to search, and they start crawling around, and he's on that mission. And when he finds that woman, he may be determined that it's time to get married and have children. So he goes out and gets a job. He finds the perfect job. And then, you know, as it just goes goal after goal after goal, you know, he'll do all kinds of things to woo you as he's trying to get you. Like, he might take you to the mall and shop with you. He'll talk to you on the phone for hours. But after you get married, that's the worst. Well, we still go to the bar. So once you're married, he takes that off the bucket list. And then you have children, and he takes that off the bucket list. All of this attention goes on to just finding the next mission. And that doesn't equate in our minds. It looks selfish and it looks crazy. But then it's contrasted with, he makes me feel safe. Because he's my ultimate protector. He's my personal bodyguard. He takes out the garbage. He cleans the car. He bathes the dog. He tells me my butt never looks big no matter what I wear. He drives me crazy and he drives me to my favorite restaurant. I sometimes wish he would shut up and then I want to hear every word he has to say all in the same time. Then you can't live with them and you can't live without them. All in all, marriage is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
So marriage can be complicated, it really can. There are a lot of places that you can bail out if you choose to. You can make that choice. Marriage requires being intentional. We need each other as men and women. We read about that. God created us not to be alone, but to be together. Marriage provides the perfect place for us to live that out. The human race needs us. In order for it to be completed, we need to be together. We're created to reproduce and raise children, and marriage provides the perfect platform for that to take place. Marriage matters because we need to perfect our character, because we're going to take our character to heaven with us. And marriage provides the perfect platform for character building to take place. I hope that you found these things that we've shared with you this morning useful. Hope that you can apply them, put together in your life. Heather, I'd like to, would you wave your hand? Heather, bless her heart, Heather's getting married this coming Saturday. Heather is married to Colton. Colton's not here this morning. That's the first time I've ever seen you guys apart.
CBR training.
Yeah, he's a volunteer fireman and works in the rescue unit. And we appreciate his service. Thank you for sacrificing that. We talked about that in some of our counseling, but I see in you guys the qualities that we talked about this morning. And getting to know you better in our counseling has really given me confidence that you're going to be everything God has called you to be in your marriage. Congratulations already. I can't wait to. That's going to be cool.
It's taken us 48 years to get some of this stuff right, and we've still got a long ways to go. But, you know, if you do the right things, you get right results.
And let me tell you this. 48 years of struggle to get some of these things right, the struggle has been a blast. It really has. Some of the things that we've done wrong, getting them right made the victory so much better. So don't be afraid of those things either. If there's anything that I could say to you today, don't be afraid of marriage.
Patience.
Yeah, patience. Jason's going to talk to us about patience pretty soon. And give us another way or another idea, another thought about patience and how we can get there.
Don't give up on each other.
Amen. And we got a couple more things we want to share with you. One of them, Joshua Gaffney is going to share with you. And so, as Joshua's making his way up here, Jason, you have a video that you could show us. Pearlie did some singing. I bet.